Welcome to the Neo-Narcissism Podcast, hosted by emotional intelligence specialist Kimberly Weeks and strategic psychotherapist Brad Kaufman.
Hi everyone, welcome back. In continuation of our last episode on healing and recovery, we're going to carry on here and talk about tools that can support you in this haze of confusion that we sit in when we're recalibrating through the recovery of a narcissistic relationship. Brad?
Well, I like that term that you use here, the recalibrating term. I like the term that you used during our last episode as well, of really kind of recovery. Now, in the process of recovering and recalibrating, I would say the first tool is awareness itself. So recognizing when you are in that state of confusion, or that you're coming out of that state of confusion, or that you're recognizing it. Because as you're talking about, as most people can identify with, when you're in the experience, it is truly a haze of confusion. So to be able to recognize what reality truly is, because again, now we're running into this idea of the illusion, right? The reality that they brought you into, and that illusion, their delusion becoming your illusion, and then that illusion becoming your reality as much as their delusion is their reality. So that illusion, especially when you still have some rootedness in reality, that there's such interference of reality and the illusion in and of itself, right, as they cross over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the awareness of really what is true, what is reality versus what is the illusion, that in and of itself can serve as a significant tool. A lot of people, though, as they're coming out of it, as they're detoxing, like any detox, that's where I love your word, haze. Mm-hmm. It's a complete haze, and really trying to sort out which is which. As you continue through the detox process, reality does become more clear, but there has to be an acceptance of reality, which is where we run into grief again. Yeah. Because the reality, especially when you look back at all you were pulled into and what became normal to you and what you ended up participating in, can feel really damaging. So to gain the awareness of that, a lot of people would rather try to stay within the illusion. They don't want to accept the reality because it's so painful.
And that pain touches on literally every aspect of your life. It's not isolated to one piece. So the threads of it, I mean, I actually see it as like scar tissue in the body, right? It's just like spreading to all of these different aspects of your whole self, your whole life. So in the recovering of these pieces and having recalibrating to this reality that you're talking about, and out of the illusion, that haze will start to lift as you gain more strength within reality, more consistency, more reminders. These reminders to yourself. Because part of the old you, the previous you, is still there even though it may feel lost. But that part also has to integrate with the new you who now has had this experience and is in this reality. So those two also need to figure out how to merge together.
Yeah, an integration process. Well, it's probably fair to say that the integration process starts to reveal the disintegration of reality from the...
Yes, perfectly said.
Which provides more clarity.
As the integration gains more hold, the disintegration of the illusion lessens. So it's almost, are you suggesting it's almost like in this measurable, I don't even know what this is, but in sort of equal measure, as the disintegration happens, the integration happens, or vice versa, really.
But like we talked about last time, it's a grief process.
Right.
And so along with grief comes the pain, because as you truly reintegrate into reality, it can actually be traumatic. So, and oftentimes within the realm of trauma, it's not necessarily what happens to you, it's what happens inside of you in relation to what happens to you. So as you come out of the haze and fog, when it's normalized to you, those experiences don't always feel traumatic, or they don't feel traumatic in the moment. You can actually feel more trauma coming out of it and realizing what you were in or what you did or didn't do to protect yourself or others. So accepting reality can be a very difficult thing. Truth isn't always easy.
No. Long-term preferable, but certainly not easy or often even welcome. Because every time you face truth, you face some part of you that denied that initially.
Mm-hmm. Now, that touches on that still small voice inside, that intuitive sense. We learn to mute the intuitive sense. We learn to mute that voice. And as we regain that voice, we may see that it was there. We just had to ignore it. Because if we didn't ignore it, we'd get punished in some way. So in one way, it's confirming. It's confirming that, yes, my intuition was absolutely correct. And your intuition and the seed of intuition is rooted in the truth and reality. And so as you reconnect with that, it is a confirmation, but at the same time, painful, because why didn't you listen to it? Because it's always a dilemma within a narcissistic framework of, do you betray yourself or do you betray that person? Because the conditions that you end up living in, you can't honor.
You have to choose.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, you have to choose one.
Yeah, yeah. You can't satisfy both. And so you have to betray one of them. But of course, if you betray that side, there is that hell to pay. And in most situations, it is like a legitimate hell. Yeah. But if you betray yourself, that's a hell in of itself too. Or at least it prolongs the hell that you find yourself.
And it allows you to put up with more on the other side, the more you betray yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to look at why you would choose to do that. Why you would choose the toxic, unhealthy, damaging relationship over your own self. It just keeps circling the drain. Right? Like as we follow this down. So I think what happens when we're faced with the initial choice of reality or illusion, we know all of that. We know deeper in our subconscious, we know all that we're going to have to look at, which just manifests as feeling terrified and so unknown that it makes it difficult to choose that truth and reality over the illusion.
Mm-hmm.
I just think there's this underlying storm that brews within that. But if you can trust the storm is leading you to freedom, the storm is leading you to yourself, then lean into the storm.
Mm-hmm.
What do they say? The eye of the tornado is the calmest?
The hurricane.
Yeah. Eye of the hurricane.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I do want to reiterate here, in healthy relationship, you don't have the dilemma of betrayal.
Yes.
So if you feel like you're torn, that is a key indicator that you are in or have been in that narcissistic framework. Okay, now, as we talk about this stuff, to get really practical about it, okay, what are you supposed to do? So if you recognize betrayal, if you recognize that you're having a struggle between illusion and reality, that there is that tension between your intuitive self that's rooted in truth and what's being presented to you or how you're being gaslit, any of those narcissistic components, it is the pain of truth that we have to manage. So then it becomes about how do you manage pain, pain management. And a lot of people struggle with it. And naturally so. We naturally move towards pleasure and away from pain. So it's developing that relationship with pain. And actually, when I say that, a lot of people are confused by it. So I think maybe we should have a discussion as to what the relationship with pain actually is.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Because in our culture, pain is perceived as a negative, bad, or evil thing.
Mm-hmm. Something to be avoided.
Yes.
Yeah.
At all costs.
At all costs. You don't want to be in pain. You don't want to see your loved ones in pain. You do things to navigate so that your kids never are feeling any pain. Yeah. It's all about the avoidance of pain.
Yes. So then it becomes about the question of then how do you actually choose to move towards the pain? And how do you choose to move through it? Because the way out is through, unfortunately. Because when you're still in the relationship with a narcissist or you're still in the context, the narcissistic context, it's very difficult to grieve it fully for what it is. It's very difficult to have the deep, safe processing that you need to do to get through it. So let's kind of talk on the other side. So yes. After the discard, again, whether you have to step away or whether they discarded you, the discard in and of itself is just so painful. And there's so much confusion that goes along with that. But being able to lean into the pain is what the actual answer is. And a lot of people don't like to hear it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because the pain is overwhelming. It's big. It seems you're at the base of the mountain and you have no idea where that mountain's going to end. You can't see the top. It's in the clouds. Like, it just seems daunting and overwhelming. And it's all encompassing. So then how do you build this, welcome this relationship with pain?
I love how you say that. How do you welcome this relationship with pain? And going back a few moments earlier, when the mountain, it feels like this is what it feels like. It feels like it's never going to end. Mm-hmm. Because it takes up 100% of your experience. Now, I can assure everybody when they do the work, when they welcome the pain, when they establish the healthy boundaries in relation to protecting from that narcissistic context and that narcissistic influence and then detoxing from that, I can guarantee that the ratio of experience changes, right? And sure, you might get a sliver of pain now and then when you look back and look at what was stolen or lost or violated. And fair enough, when something is stolen or violated, especially the sacred things that the narcissist exploits, there will always be a little bit of a sliver, even if the ratio changes significantly to being like, oh yeah, my experience is great. And I mean, in my personal experience, I wouldn't trade my current experience for anything. But there's still the odd sliver when you realize that exploitation and that violation, right, of what was stolen. But again, being able to lean into that and doing the work of, yeah, I welcome that, because those things should hurt.
Yeah.
Right.
You're honoring yourself by allowing yourself to experience the pain that you didn't allow yourself to experience within the relationship, because it kept having to be managed more so than having it as a felt experience with the knowledge and the healing that comes from that. So in terms of welcoming the relationship, what you're really saying is it's about allowing. Mm-hmm. It's about really having the courage, and it does take courage. It's not a small thing, and we recognize that. To trust yourself that you're going to survive it and allow the intensity of the pain.
I'm glad you describe it that way, because a lot of people will say, okay, so what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do with the pain? Because it's this idea of getting over it. I always like to say, well, a joyful person, somebody experiencing joy in any moment, they don't ask, how do I get through this joy quicker? How do I get rid of this joy quicker? They just welcome it. They lean into it, and they have the full experience. Now, everybody knows joy doesn't last forever.
It's very short-lived. Mm-hmm.
In some situations, mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially that, like, intense of joy, or, like, euphoric experience. It just doesn't last at that same level. But nobody is going, okay, what do I do now? So I'm in the joy, now what do I do? It's the same thing with pain. Pain can be accepted and welcomed in just the exact same way as joy. And when you allow it to move through, as long as you're careful, you mentioned this last time, as long as you're careful what you do with your thoughts and your beliefs at that time, you don't want to perpetuate it any further than it is. You just want to sit in the experience of what it is without judging it, without trying to perpetuate it by thinking about all kinds of awful things. You just want to sit in the rawness of the experience.
In that moment.
Yes.
So then let's expand on this a little bit, because when there is that much intensity of pain and you're actually starting to experience the pain, it is very easy to feel like you're slipping off the cliff, and where it starts to become overwhelming, because again, you're not keeping the boundaries on the experience of that moment of pain. You're allowing it to fall into all of the pain. When you just have this one invitation, and to just feel that invitation. So then how do you keep from falling into that and allowing that pain to last, say, hours, days, weeks, where you're lost in it? It reminds me sort of similar to grief. So one of the tools that a few years ago I was taught about grief was something called tide work, which is allowing, it's almost actually setting aside time so you can sort of train your emotional state and your body to have the experience and then to state shift out of it. To allow yourself to feel that pain and then allow it to end and then do something different, physically move your body, whatever that looks like, that creates a different experience for you. What you're doing is you're actually training both those muscles. You're training the pain muscle to have its voice, but also its boundaries. And you're training like maybe a joy muscle, a happy muscle, a content, a peace muscle, whatever it might be as well, because you are not just pain. You are having, and you're allowed to have multiple different experiences. It doesn't just have to be that, even though it feels like the dominant one.
And that's important, to recognize pain as an experience that you're having, because we cycle through all kinds of experiences within a day, right? Pain is one of those experiences, and you can observe it, and you can sit with it. Just like you can observe a storm coming across countryside towards you, and you can watch the lightning and thunder, and you can watch those clouds swirl past you and move on. That's an experience. You can observe it. This is an internal, right, storm, incredibly intense. Tide work, you said? Another term we call it is emotion surfing. So there's a natural rise and a natural fall to it. When you don't cut it off, when you basically surrender to the experience of it, there's a natural rise and a natural fall to it. What happens and what perpetuates it and moves it forward is when people attach fear to it, and they attach a meaning and a belief that, oh no, this is gonna drown me, this is gonna all consume me, I'm never gonna get out of this, right? That's meaning being attached to it. So when I talk about you have to be careful where your thoughts go with it or your belief structure goes with it, there's a real discipline of just observation and experience. As soon as you get into labeling it.
Labeling yourself with your belief system.
Rather than just experiencing it. Right, when a storm goes over, we don't automatically attribute it to us because it's so obviously outside of us. But the pain that comes, it's an internal event just as much as some thunderstorm is an external event. And so you can allow it to flow. It kind of goes into you and it goes through you. But being able to, again, observe it without judgment and without creating fear narratives attached to it. You know?
Beautifully said. I think the discipline of this is really important. And I think that actually gives people permission to have the experience, because that is the boundaries of that, is staying disciplined with that you are experiencing something. It don't have to assign all of the meaning or what you think is meaning. That will come later when there's clarity and there's space for that. Right now, it's about pain management and processing.
And there's something else really important to remember here. We all have coping mechanisms for pain. Most of them aren't that healthy, but we all have coping mechanisms for pain. So even if you're afraid to go into it, your coping mechanism is always sitting there on the side. So if you need to distract yourself or escape the pain or that type of thing, as you start to get to know it, as you familiarize yourself with it, as you learn to welcome it, it's okay to give yourself permission to, this is too much, I can't do this. But you want that kind of exposure so that you can become familiar with it. As you become familiar with it, it becomes less daunting and less scary. So that familiarity then allows you to go a little bit further with it, to get to know it a little bit more, to recognize how it does have a natural rise and fall to it. So, and you can also then learn how to observe it as the observer having the experience of pain rather than being the pain itself.
Perfect. Being the observer of your pain. I think that's so valuable and important because people really do, you know, I think we've all done it. We so personalize and identify ourselves with the pain that it must mean something about us. And because we don't see pain as a positive experience, then that can't be reflecting anything positive about us. But that's actually not the case. So let's just put that aside.
Yeah, that's really good. And the pain, as you hold space for it, will start to inform you. It will start to reveal things to you that you don't otherwise recognize. For instance, why is the pain there? In my experience, sitting with the pain was recognizing this thing that I hold so sacred over here was violated so profoundly that it should hurt. It would be unreasonable for it not to hurt. If it didn't hurt, then there would be a concern. But you have to be able to sit with the pain in order to have these recognitions.
It's very honoring. Very honoring of yourself to do that.
Okay, now you just opened a huge can of worms. So it is 100% honoring, and it's the first time maybe in your life anybody has ever validated that, has allowed that to be there. Because when we move away from our pain, we're essentially saying to ourselves, I'm not allowed to feel that. You're not allowed to feel that. Invalidating it. You can't feel pain. You can only feel this. So it's a constant self-invalidation of experience rather than a validation of experience. So to hold space for it and welcome it is potentially the first time it's ever been validated in your life.
So what a beautiful way to love yourself, to care for yourself, and to put yourself first, also possibly for the first time ever. I think that's maybe that's part of this whole tool that we're talking about, is this honoring of the pain. The pain needs to have its voice, and that voice is in honor of you. It's in honor of your recovered self.
And that's why you need to hold space for it, so that it can speak its voice, so that it can reveal to you what it needs to reveal. Now, for most people who haven't been through this, this is going to sound like absolute crazy talk. But for those of you that have been able to hold space for the pain or welcome the pain, at least to some degree, will have a better sense of what we're talking about here. And as you practice it, this takes practice. Grief in and of itself takes practice. You know, you have to learn how to do it. It's not something that comes naturally because there is that avoidance gradient towards it.
Yeah.
So it feels like you're doing everything backwards. But yeah, again, the way out is through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is our first tool in talking about healing and recovery.
Mm-hmm. This is a massive tool. I just want to stress to people, it's extremely powerful. It's simple in concept, but difficult to do.
Yes, agreed. So if people are struggling with this concept, we also offer consultations and sessions. So if people want to reach out, or if you have somebody in your area that is supporting you, then reach out to them and get the support that you need for the management of the pain of this. Yeah, and we will continue with more tools, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like the way that you say that. Sometimes you do need a facilitator to help learn how to do this, right? How to hold space for this. And so, yeah, being able to reach out to a trusted coach or therapist, somebody that you know would be able to help you hold that space and help you process through it in a manageable way, right? And at the same time, allow you to escape and distract and use the coping tools that you need to use in the meantime. But as you get to know it and really develop that healthy relationship with pain, the need for those coping tools actually disappear. Those strategies are no longer necessary because the relationship is healthy. And as backwards as it sounds, you really do start welcoming it, right? When it shows up.
Yes, I think that's really valuable point, is that the intensity of it. Well, the intensity will, you'll become more accustomed to it, so it won't feel as intense. But the intensity of it actually becomes kind of welcoming, because you know that with experiencing the intensity of that, you get an almost relevant sense, a relative sense of peace as well that accompanies that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to drown in the intensity. And if you've been in a narcissistic relationship, you've probably become accustomed to experiencing intensity just in different ways. So you may have this desire to not want to experience intensity anymore, but you do have a muscle for it. So this intensity is healthier than the previous intensity.
Hmm. Yeah, for sure. So yes, we will continue to talk about these tools as we move forward, because the healing is now. So the experience of that narcissistic influence was in the past, as we were talking here, primarily on the other side of the discard is when this work is really safe to do, is most available to do. It's a very dangerous feeling, and sometimes impossible feeling to be able to do within a narcissistic context. So the healing is now. Any trauma experienced or triggered in the moment can be healed now. And so that's why we're giving these tools, because they're healing now tools. And so, yeah, we'll move forward with more of these tools as we go on. And as usual, you don't know how to deal with something until you know what you're dealing with. We'll see you next time.